Okay, now I don't know what this title would be for today's talk. I could call it Training for Reigning, but anyway, you could say that for every Sunday, couldn't you? most messages are about that. We'll work out something as we go along. But as we get started, I thought I'd try and get you thinking. Now, I know you're all sitting here in church, and as the kids in Sunday school would know it, we'll put our religious hats on and we'll sort of come out with the right answer, which is usually Jesus or love or something like that, isn't it? And but I want us to think perhaps a little. When Jesus talked to the people around him, he is using very much the things that were going on around them, and he'd tell a parable, but it would be very much of what they lived. So when he told a parable, it was their own experiences, it was their own history, it was their own culture that he was picking a parable out of, but they didn't usually know quite where he was going with it. And so as I thought about this, I thought, well, let's put this out to you. And so you can imagine a situation where I've got £150,000, and I want to grow that money. Because maybe I want it for a pension, you know, my own pension to help me because I haven't got a pension. Do you see what I mean? And maybe over the next 5 or 10, 15 years, I need to make this money work for me. And so I would like to ask all of you lot to help me out with this money. And it's only imagining now. don't get too worried. So I'm going to split this money up into various little compartments. I thought perhaps parcels of £1,000, parcels of £10,000, and parcels of £100,000. Now have a little think on this, because what I'd like to do now, and we can have a little think on this, is what would you like to do to try and invest and grow that money? You could try and double it up for me, that would be great. So if I could give you £1,000, you know, in 5 years' time, could you make that £2,000, see? Or, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. £10,000? Let's try and grow it. So who would be interested in taking on the £100,000? Very good, thank you. I didn't think anyone would. We'll have a chat about that in a minute. What about the 10,000? Who would like to tackle 10,000?
Yeah, go for the middle
ground. 10,000, yeah. Who's doing the 10,000? Oh, no? Michael's doing 10,000. Michael's doing 10,000. Who's doing 1,000? You've got one over there. What's the rest of you doing? Okay, I'm going to have to split my thousands down now to hundreds. So who's taking on £100 to try and grow £100? Got a few over here, right? Now we're down to 100. You're willing to have a go at that. So what do the rest of you are willing to take on? Pardon?
Nothing?
Anyone else? What would anyone like to try and grow? And
there were no options higher than 100,000.
There's no 100,000 is the maximum. That's the tops, that was. No going lower. Anyone want to go lower than 1,000? Oh, yeah. Have we gone down to 100?
We
got a few on 100. And that's it. And some people don't want to take part. No. Okay, let's start from the bottom and go up. £100. How might we go about sort of growing that money? Any ideas how we might? What would you do? Do you think? You'd put it in a nicer. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I don't mind what your answers. Premium bonds. Anything? Anyone else? Isn't this terrible talking about money in church?
Hmm.
You'd make pavlovas and sell them. There we are. Look, there's a different idea. This is the kind of thing I'm happy for all the different ideas because I want people to think about this. I know we're in church and we want to come up with the spiritual answers, but I just wanted, if I came to your door and asked you what you'd come up with, what would you say?
Hmm?
Betting? Okay. Oh, gulp. Spend it all on lottery tickets. Oof. I'm not giving you my money. Buy shares. Shares is another option.
Gold.
These are some different ideas, aren't they? What about buying and selling things? I wrote a few things down, you know, because I've got buying shares. I've put that one down myself. I thought some people might buy and sell things on eBay, might they? They might be able to. I know people do that. They buy things and then they sell it and they make a pound, a couple of pounds, ten. You know, they can make it work for themselves. Someone might get a job, train, and use that money. But it's interesting because a lot of us here wouldn't want to take on the big sums, would we? And what does taking on the big sums often mean? If you took on the 100,000, it's a big responsibility. It's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, if I had, costs a lot if it goes wrong. It's time consuming. Because I thought, how would I make a, if it was me, I was thinking about this, I thought, if I tried to make 100,000, perhaps I'd buy a property and work on it. Oh, were you? All right, I jumped in there. You might do it up and try and sell it and make some money on it. You know, this is what people do. This is how people make their money. And, you know, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Because if you bought a property and then you had to do it up, that would involve a lot of your time. So I don't know if you'd really want to do that for me, but that's the kind of thing you could do if one was trying to grow your own money. And so we might buy a property, or if we were trying to grow our own money, you know, we might think, I've got some money given to me, I'll invest in myself, get some training, and I'll get myself a better job. And then that will give me a better income. You know, I can, you know, if someone gave me, like nowadays, in the future, it's going to cost to go to university. And if someone gave you a lot of money, you could train yourself, get higher education, go on and get a good job that within so many years, you'd be earning a decent, quite a lot more money than you would if you hadn't trained. And that's how you could invest that money to bring a reward on it. So these are just different ideas that, but what does it involve? If I gave all this money out to you, now if I gave someone a tenner and said to grow that, they might just go and buy one item and sell it, and hey ho, they've doubled the money, and there you are, Dave, there's your 20 quid back. But if it was a lot more money, I might be working at it for years, ploughing it in, seeing it grow, invest, buying shares, doing up a house, working to make that 100,000. And obviously, you know, it's a lot more than 10 pounds, so it is a lot more time. So all this work involves time, effort, a lot of thought. You put a lot of thought into it. It's a big responsibility. You know, it's Dave's money. Oh, what shall I do? I don't care. I'll gamble it all. Who cares about Dave? And if we win at one, it doesn't matter. But others might think, oh no, I don't want to lose that. That's Dave's money. Let's try and play a bit more cautiously with it. We'll put it in the ISAs and, it's growing steadily. We'd do some research, wouldn't we? We would have to look into these things and try and make it. You might need a bit of self-discipline on it. You know, you'd have to watch it. You'd have to know when to move it. You might get drawn into taking a big risk, and it might backfire on you. But there is risk involved in a lot of this, or all of it. Because you can put it into the safest things and they can still go wrong, as people have been finding out with banks and things. So, what would... Now, just taking it wider, because I've given you the scenario of this is Dave's money, but what might our motivation be in this kind of growing of our money? If it was a job, what might motivate us to get this money working? If it was in your job, you might be loyalty to the workplace. It might be reward in the workplace. It might just be job security. If you don't make it work, you haven't got a job. Because there's one thing about the city. I know that you always talk about the big rewards. But if you don't make it work, they get rid of you. There is very little security in the city of London. And when they work up there, if the banks come along and say, wow, you haven't done a lot with that money, you're out. It's very, very, very harsh up there. We always get the news of the big bonuses, but then the other side of it is very little security in it, because if they look at your, what they call your money that you've been investing, and if it's been going down, they won't have you. There's no sort of like, oh yes, well, we'll give you another few years and see if it, no, you're out, that's it, your money, you're not making it work, you're gone. So there's job security, and there's pride. You just want to do well. You want to do well. And I thought, and other things that may make us have to do this might be fear. if some loan shark lent you money, you'd have to pay it back. And if you didn't pay it back, there's a fear factor going there, isn't there? There's a fear factor. You'd have to try and get some more money to pay him back. And the reason you're paying back is very likely out of fear. And there could be love. You know, someone gives you money, your family, or you want to help your family, you would respond perhaps in love. And you might wonder what I'm talking about this morning, all this money business. I'm going to look at the talents. And in Matthew 25, Jesus picked up on money. Jesus talked about money a lot. But it's not necessarily talking, the story, the meaning isn't necessarily money, but he used it to get people understanding, because that's what they lived. That's life. Money is life. And I bet you talk about it all the time. You talk about the price of shopping. All the time, it's life. It's probably that one of the main parts of your conversation. Oh yeah, cost of living's gone up today. Oh, the cost of this has gone up. It's life, and Jesus picks up on life. What you talk about 90% of your time, probably bar the weather, is money, shopping, the cost of living, and it's what concerns us. And I'll just read this to you. So. In Matthew 25, and he's talking about his kingdom to come, what Jesus has come about. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more. That's why I was talking about it, really, because we just read it and we just run over it. But he had to put that money to work and make it grow. He had to think about it. What did he do? He wasn't told. It doesn't say he was told to go and make that money grow. He was just given it, and he had to go make it grow. He made 5 more. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. He wasn't actually told to go and double it up. He was just given the money. But it was an expectation of him. I have gained you 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. His master was pleased with him. You would be, wouldn't you? The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the drastic thing here is, the one who had the least, which involved the least work, well, goes and buries it. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, the thing is, I was thinking about this, and I thought, some of you are older than me and some of you are not. Now, if you go back in time, 30 years, what was the price of petrol? About 30 years? I think this is probably more like it. It was probably something like a couple of quid or something. So if someone, say it was £2 30 years ago. So if I'd given you that money, £10 30 years ago, never mind the maths, you could have bought a lot more with it, couldn't you? But if you stuck it in the ground now, you'd buy 2 gallons with it, wouldn't you? If I was 10 quid, it's you'd hardly buy that now. So burying it in the ground actually doesn't keep it the same, and actually it devalues. You see, that's what he was saying. You haven't given me back what I gave you. You've given me back less, because over time, if you had put it in the bank, it would have got interest. It would have actually stayed roughly with what it was valued. You've actually done nothing, and you've actually given me back less than you started with. So he was annoyed with the servant, because he's actually not even stayed with inflation. So they weren't actually told what to do, but they had an expectation what was of them. And if I jumped, it's a very similar story. I just want to jump to Luke. And it's the same story. It's very, just slightly different. And it's the same again. We're talking about when Jesus, when are you going to have your kingdom? When are you going to rule Israel? When are you going to be the Messiah? When's this all going to happen? What's going on? And then he said, and he's talking about this and the end times and da 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 da. And he says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. So they thought it was happening then. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. That sounds a bit odd to us, doesn't it? So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Whatever that is, I think it was. Yeah, I read somewhere that a mina was about 3 months' wage. Gave them the money to work. He said, until I come back. So he's given them this money. They've got to put it to work until he comes back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. He's really put that to work. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, Here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they replied, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king, to be a king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Now, Jesus takes this. I was reading about this, and this is part of their own history. Because what used to happen in those times, because it seems funny that someone is going to go to a strange land to collect his kingdom. But in those days, Caesar was ruler of all the land. Caesar was the ruler. And when someone wanted to be king, they would go to Caesar, and he would appoint them king. So it was actually part of the history. And as I looked it up, something like this actually happened. So Jesus takes part of the history and makes a parable out of it. Because actually a delegation was sent after one of their kings and said, we don't want him to reign over us. And all this happened. So Jesus picks up on part of the history and then tells a story. And what he's saying, and he's telling the story about his coming kingdom. But it's not coming then, because they were expecting Jesus to take up and take charge and fight the Romans and establish a kingdom. And in a way, he's saying, I'm actually going away for a time. But you, the church, are going to have to invest your time, your energy, your efforts for the kingdom. And when I return, I will be able to see how you have invested your time as to what you will do. Because there is a future kingdom. We're not going to be just sitting by the pool. There will be things for us to do. So in heaven or in a future kingdom of God, we will have function. We will have purpose. We will have things to do. And part of this is what he's saying. So while we're here now, we have a job to do. We have talents to invest. He's using the word money so they could grasp hold of it. But it's bigger than money. It's our time. Pauline said, it's not necessarily our ability, but our availability. That was just said on the prayer meeting yesterday. And I thought, yes, you know, it's not just our abilities. It's our availability. Jesus wants what we can give him. And one last little reading, just a small one, just to show that it's not as harsh as, oh, what can we do? I can only do this and that. In Luke 21, from verse 2, Jesus was standing there. Starting 21. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Jesus can see your effort. Jesus can see your ability. Jesus can see what we are capable of and what we have. And we might think, oh, but I wish I was like them. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that big ministry. Boy, I'd love to be doing that. I wish I could, go off there and do that like so and so. But Jesus can see what your abilities. He can see what you can do. And I've said all that, and all I want to say is thank you to all of you, really, because it's the beginning of the year, and I just wanted to thank all of you for all that you put into this fellowship. And Jesus can see your abilities and the things that you do, and he counts it. You know, he's, yes, that's good. Well done. Well done. Well done. And he sees you putting your little 2 copper coins in. It doesn't have to be money. Money is the thing that we can think about, but it's all sorts of things. But before I just mention the things that we do in the church, it's also important that we use what God has shown us and given us in our everyday life. You know, we can't all be serving in the church all the time. Some people are working, and it's important that where they work, they are trustworthy, they're honest, that they represent Jesus in their workplace. It's important that we do it at home, at play, at work, at school, wherever we find ourselves, that we represent Jesus and we live that life for him. And so what I wanted to do, because some people could feel it, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you in the fellowship for all that you do for the fellowship. And when you're doing it, you're doing it for Jesus. He watches and he sees what you do. You might think, oh, so it's not much, is it? Is it really doing anything? But Jesus sees it. You know, that lady that puts her 2 coins in, Jesus sees it. And he said, and he was the only one that would notice, actually, she's given everything, where others are given, you know, their 10% or their 5%. And so when I thought I'd just say a thank you in different areas for the different things that people do in the fellowship. But you might feel sometimes discouraged. You might feel that, is it achieving anything? But it's not always for us. It's for him. And he watches and he keeps an account and he is the rewarder, not me. It's him who rewards. So you don't have to invest my money for my pension. He keeps the accounts. So I'm going to just say a few people and hope no one gets offended if I miss you out. But I'd like to, you know, we have the Sunday setup. That's why I said, you know, it's important that you do all this in your life, in your work, because maybe you work hard and you can't be doing so much in the church. God is seeing what you do at work. I don't see it, but I do see what happens here. And I thank you to, you know, people like Linda for doing the coffee, Ian, Ganilla, Katie, Martin, David, who has just got involved in it. Thank you, you know, for just setting up the chairs on a Sunday morning. Kevin, Viv, they come down, they set up. Church admin, Kevin and Val. You know, there's the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Kevin does the news flashes. Do you know, I wouldn't like to do that job. I'd be hopeless. But Kevin does it all the time. Kevin does the accounts. Who wants to do the accounts? Who wants to do the news flash? But, you know, thank you to Kevin for doing all that stuff because, you know, he does it. And it keeps going on all the time. Thank you to Carol for what she does with the birthday cards. It could easily be overseen, you know, just overlooked. And it's such an important job. It's a surprisingly important job. So thank you for what you do. It's important. And I've got down here Pauline and Viv. Got the same list probably. For all that you do in various aspects of admin. If Sunday school. Oh, they can't even hear us. They're out there. Val, Rachel, Gunilla, Katie, Tony, Carol, Debbie, all these different people help go out there, do stuff with the youngsters. But it's important, isn't it, that we do these things. But Jesus keeps account. You don't get paid for it, but you will one day. You will get rewarded for it. We don't have the money to pay, but Jesus will reward you for it. Steph, Michelle, Dave and Viv, that's me. He's just looking down through the list, but thank you for all that work that goes on looking after the slightly older group. Coffee shop. Carol.
No,
but Carol's been doing this for a long time, so she gets a mention, doesn't she? And she, Carol's been very much part of it. Michelle, she's not here. Debbie does the clothes. Val, Jack, Viv, different people just doing things, different parts of the church. Now, I know some of you can't do these things. You're at work. God will reward you for what you can do at work and what your Friday meal. Stacy, Debbie, Pauline, Lou, Gunilla, Katie, Viv. These are different people that do the Friday meal that we run. Pastoral group. Katie, Martin, Linda, Caroline. You know, Caroline doing thought for the week. How many of us want to do thought for the week? How many of us could do thought for the week? No? A lot of us couldn't even do it, could we? But Caroline does it. She thinks about it and brings that thought for the week in. And it might seem like a little thing, but it's there and it's important. So thank you to Caroline for that. These are just things. Do you know, we were able to go round to Margaret's wasn't yesterday, was it? Have a prayer time. Thank you for the use of your house. We go into Connie's, the use of her house. Different things that we give to each other, just to help the running of the church. The things I haven't mentioned here, but they're the more visible things. The preaching, the leading, and the musicians. So I'll just run through them quickly. Thank you to, Katie's not in here. Ian. Where's Martin? Sunday school. Martin's out there. See, doing that. Caroline's on this list. Wow, Caroline. Thank you. Thank you, Ian. Leading worship. Kevin, Viv, Katie. And then musicians. Kevin, Liz, Pauline, Michael, Ashley, Ian. Well, all the boys, Ed, Derek, Ricardo, Lorenzo, Aaron, Michelle. Yeah. Michelle, Rue, Viv. I'm just going through a lot. And maybe I've missed off some things. I hope I haven't. But, you know, this is the life that we see. And some of you are working and we can't put you down here. But Jesus sees what you bring to your workplace, you know, your honesty, your love, your caring, your help. Yeah, he sees that in your workplace. I haven't got that for the fellowship. But Jesus does see it all. And I just say a thank you for all that you bring to the fellowship and that you bring to your workplace. And I just close in prayer. Father, we are all of different abilities, different aspirations, but we know that you can use us all in various ways, Lord. And we just ask that you would help us to make ourselves available, whether it be at work, at play, at home, at church, Lord, to serve you, to be your witness, to be your servant, Lord. I pray you'd be with us as a church, Lord, and that we would help each other and encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So perhaps you could call it thank you. Yeah.